This podcast is brought to you by our Father's Day special. Get Dad something he'll love. Get him a Buy American, Support America t-shirt. If you buy today, you get one of Howie's awesome books for free. Go to HowieCarShow.com and click the banner.
Better strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Carr Show.
The frontline workers, many, many are taking it. I happen to be taking it.
I'm taking it.
Hydroxychloroquine. Right now, yeah.
Stunning news from President Trump.
It was the president who late today surprised reporters when he said he has been taking hydroxychloroquine.
A controversial medicine that Mr. Trump has touted as a potential treatment for coronavirus.
The president appears to be brushing aside those concerns, saying it was his idea to take the drug along with zinc as a way to prevent catching the virus.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
Frontline workers take it. A lot of doctors take it. I take it. I'm not going to get hurt by it. It's been around for 40 years for malaria, for lupus, for other things. I take it.
He's not taking something that his own administration has said will kill you.
If you are in a risky population here and you are taking this, it will kill you. I cannot stress enough. This will kill you.
Everything he said was absolutely accurate. It has been around for 40 years. It's been prescribed hundreds of millions of times. I've never seen one adverse side effect.
Who's your captain? Howie Carr.
Madam Speaker, what's your reaction to the president saying that he is now taking hydroxychloroquine?
I would rather he not be taking something that has not been approved, especially in his age group, in his weight group, what is morbidly obese, they say.
Oh, a lovely lady. Hey, baby, you're all right. You must have been something before electricity, huh?
Unchained and unstoppable.
You're going to hear there's a pond on the other side of my property here, a lot of Canadian geese. Trump was out there tweeting again this morning. I call him President Tweety.
Rump swabs, hacks, and moon bats beware. It's Howie Carr.
You ever feel like you're in Groundhog Day, the old movie, when you're watching the palpitations of the mainstream media over anything Donald Trump does? So suppose it said, I'm not taking hydroxychloroquine. He is not taking the drug he touted. But he did say he's taking it, so. He's taking the drug he touted. It's dangerous.
I think it gives you an additional level of safety, but you can ask, many doctors are in favor of it. Many frontline workers won't go there unless they have the hydroxy. And so, again, this is an individual decision to make, but it's had a great reputation. And if it was somebody else other than me, people would say, gee, isn't that smart?
I've heard that, you know, it's hard to get in places like Hollywood or Manhattan, you know, in the affluent areas where everybody hasn't moved out, which isn't that much of affluent Manhattan anymore. But people want it. And, you know, the other thing is, too, you should see what's going on there again, asking him the same stupid questions over and over again this afternoon. That's why we're not, you know, in any hurry to switch over to it. You're going on a trip on Thursday. Will you be wearing a mask? I mean, again, so this is the plague, the black plague. This is the return of the bubonic plague. It's going to wipe out a third of mankind. Half of mankind. And that's all they could do is ask him if he's going to wear a mask. And then someone said, what are you doing for the minority community? I mean, how many times have we heard it over and over? It's the same question. If this is such an earth-shattering event and a panic pandemonium, why are they asking him, you know, silly, pointless questions?
Well, that's a really good point, Howie. And Molly Hemingway made that point right when this started happening. She said, if this were as big of a deal as they're trying to convince us it is, they would change their behavior. And they haven't changed their behavior. So it cannot be bigger or smaller than anything else because they react to everything in the same way. And you'd think that if they really thought we were all going to die in a month or 2 months or whatever, that maybe they would say, we got to ask some serious questions here because people's lives are at stake, but they don't. They ask the gotcha questions.
And if it were really a serious problem and going out without a mask was really a health threat, wouldn't Andrew Cuomo be angry at his brother for endangering everybody by going out? Wouldn't he be angry at Steffi Stephanopoulos, a fellow Democrat operative, for going out without a mask?
Wouldn't they be angry at Caitlin Collins, who was caught on film ripping her mask off right after the press conference?
Right. That was pretty funny, too. And it's like Obama on over the weekend with his commencement address, again, talking about how climate change is such a problem. And then he goes back to his oceanfront estate on Martha's Vineyard, which is at sea level.
Yeah, but it's different for him because he puts his arms out over the sea when he's home and he makes it, you know, recede.
Yeah, it's the old thing with these Democrats. Do as I say, not as I do. You know, I'm tired. I'm tired of it. And I'm tired of these stupid gotcha. They're not even gotcha questions. They don't even seem to have their heart in it anymore.
Physicians.
Why haven't you announced a plan to get 36 million unemployed Americans back to work? You're overseeing historic economic despair.
I think we've announced a plan. We're opening up our country. Just a rude person you are.
That was CBS's Paula Reed, by the way.
These CBS reporters, you know, I mean, it used to be a big deal to be a CBS reporter. Now, could you pick any of them out of a lineup, Grace? I couldn't.
No, I could not. No, I could not, Howie. Hey, Howie, this is Grace's News, and I do want to get to something that I think you're really going to enjoy. A clip went viral yesterday of a man in the North End. He's a restaurant owner. His name is Frank Mendoza. He went on a rant on Fox 25, and it went viral because so many people thought he made so much sense. So I'm going to play this cut and we'll discuss.
And it's easy for somebody who doesn't know how to run a business to tell me that it's going to be okay. I have three little kids. I got mortgages, rents, health insurance, payroll taxes. Let me tell you something. I haven't social distanced in 3 months. I've come out every single day. Okay? I take my chances with God. If I have to give up my business that I worked 25 years, sacrificed my life for coronavirus, I'll take coronavirus over losing my business.
We want none of it. We want to open up at 100%, and they should come down and tell us otherwise and come over and fight us at our businesses if they think that we're going to let them toy with us any longer.
So those are a few guys from the North End. That first guy you heard is Frank Mendoza. He runs Monica's, which is a very famous restaurant in the North End. He'll be joining us tomorrow, Howie. I just spoke with him on the phone. And it's just unbelievable that it's come to this, that the people who are making all of these decisions have no skin in the game, and people are fed up. And it's affecting everyone except for the hacks on Beacon Hill.
Among busboys and bartenders and waitresses in Massachusetts, the unemployment rate is 100%. Among the hacks who work at the courthouses at University of Massachusetts, the unemployment rate is zero. And they're all making over $100,000 a year. And at UMass, most of them are making over $200,000, $300,000 a year. And they're on vacation. I mean, they just say, we've got to stay out. In other words, what they're saying is, we've got to stay on vacation.
Exactly. And Town Hall, Howie, had a piece on Dan Crenshaw's recent op-ed in the Wall Street Journal. And he had a really good point. He wrote about how because the elite has the option to work from home or has money and they don't have to worry about it, they are using that as a way to say that we want to kill all the grandmas out there, when really some people just don't have the luxury to stay home. And some people don't want to be dependent on the government for the rest of their lives.
And anybody who wants to stay home and stay locked up in the basement, feel free. It's a free country.
It's a free country.
But just
allow
the rest of us to leave the house and get back to work. I got to read some parts of Peggy Noonan's column in the Wall Street Journal on Saturday. I'm not a big Peggy Noonan fan usually, but she was pretty good talking about the breakdown between the people who want to go back to work and the people who don't want to go back to work. And she was just making the point that, you know, the people who want to go back to work tend to come from more hard scrabble background, shall we say.
It's working class America. It's a lot of red states and it's a lot of battleground states. And it's not boding well for Joe Biden, because although he has a national lead over Trump in those battleground states, I think it's 52 Trump, 45 Biden or something like that. So it's not looking good for Joe Biden. People want to go back to work, and there's people who are out there protesting. Usually, you know what they have, Howie? They have a sign that says reopen the country, and then they have a flag. And you know what's on the flag?
Trump.
Make America great again. So it's creating this divide, and it's going to be really scary slash interesting to see how it plays out.
And they thought that they could blame Trump for the economic devastation. But it's abundantly clear that the states that are reopening, the big states, especially Texas, Florida, and then moving north to Georgia, South Carolina, I mean, and the states that never shut down, like the Dakotas, they're doing okay.
Right.
It's the blue states that are that are suffering here. And people are... Somebody said this on Rush's show today, that she was in Kentucky, which has a Democrat governor. They made a big mistake by voting out the Republican governor. And she said people are depressed and they're all wearing masks in the grocery stores. They won't look each other in the eyes. It's like being in East Germany. She didn't say that, but that's the reality. And then the woman said she went down to Alabama and it was like being back in America.
And
everybody's smiling and happy and, you know, they're taking it easy. And guess what? Nobody's dying in Alabama.
And you're totally right, Howie. And it's going to get very contentious when half the country is having their weddings canceled and their birthdays canceled and not able to hold funerals for people and not able to get their hair cut. And then half the country is able to do it. That's when it gets kind of frightening, because people are going to get mad. And I always thought, oh, well, the liberals aren't going to get mad because they think this is going to get Trump, you know, out of office. And I think to a point that's true, but at a certain point it affects everyone. Like if you have a kid who's graduating college this year and they don't get to graduate, or they don't get to have a ceremony, if your daughter's having a wedding, it doesn't matter if you're Republican or Democrat at this point, this thing is taking over. So I don't know. I think the Democrats are once again overplaying their hands. Grace's news is brought to you by Boomer Naturals face coverings. Charlie Parker has spoken, not today, because like Howie said, he was a little afraid to speak today.
He's hiding.
He's in hiding. I don't think Howie's daily tweets are helping. But you now need a face covering, and they are strictly enforcing it. If you've gone to a gas station or to get ice cream or anything like that, you know that you will get yelled at if you do not have your face covered. So you might as well get a comfortable face covering at HowieCarShow.com.
Important at a gas station, Grace, because a gas station is such a sanitary location.
Right. I don't want to say I got yelled at again today, but I got yelled at again today.
Did you really?
Yeah, it's not from...
Oh my God, Grace.
I'm not trying to rebel. I just keep forgetting, and then I walk in, and I am, you know, the worst person in the world. It's bad. I'm trying, though. Thankfully, I always have my Boomer Naturals in the car, so I just have to go back out and get it. But go to HowieCarShow.com, click on the Boomer Naturals banner. You can save 20% with code HowieCar20. And Howie, they're super comfortable and super soft. When we get back, I have some good news for Bud Light and some bad news for Joe Biden.
Interesting.
Yes.
I can hardly wait. I'm Howie Carr.
He's New England's talk radio king. He's Howie Carr.
This is Jeff in Woodstock, Connecticut.
This is Laura Benner in South Burlington, Vermont.
This is Jimmy Mack in Falmouth, Massachusetts. And this is The Howie Carr Show.
If you are in a risky population here and you are taking this as a preventative treatment to ward off the virus, or in a worst case scenario, you are dealing with the virus and you are in this vulnerable population, it will kill you. I cannot stress enough. This will kill you.
Dr. Cavuto, I didn't know that he went to medical school. My general impression from an early age was that if you take too much of just about anything, it will kill you.
They're not doctors, Howie. They're not doctors, but they play them on TV. Hey, Howie, I have a question for you before we get to the poll question. Have you heard, so over the weekend I was talking to people, obviously, about Charlie Baker, coronavirus. It's the same, like, four topics over and over again on the weekends.
It's Groundhog Day. That's what I'm saying.
It totally is. But something I heard a lot of that I never heard us mention on the show, but maybe we have, is people are very angry that when Charlie Baker goes on television, he has his hands in his pocket. And I heard I heard that from multiple adults, especially older guys. They said, why does he have his hands in his pocket like he's giving a middle school presentation and he's scared of the teacher? He kind of slouches and sticks them in his pants pocket.
I think he's scared of the people. I think he knows that these polls saying that he has 80% favorability, that's nonsense.
He's America's most popular governor. Sure,
yeah.
Jan.
We'll see you in the Republican primary in 2022, Charlie, if you're that popular. Whether you're working from home or working on your fitness, you want to hear your music, not your roommates or family's music.
Nobody wants to hear my Taylor Swift music. It is true. But guess what? When I put my Raycons on, I can hear Taylor clear as a bell, and she sounds great. So no one
else
has
trying to sell
listen.
The product. Don't say things like that.
No, no. It's a great benefit to people like Jared and myself who do not want to hear Taylor Swift. So thank you, Raycon. Thank you, Mr. and Mrs. Howie Carr.
Yeah, sometimes silence is golden. So if I have the Taylor Swift in and they have just silence, then everyone's happy.
Okay, that's the way to look at it. Get 15% off your Raycon order at buyraycon.com/Howie. That's buyraycon.com/Howie. Give one to your significant other and you'll never have to hear Taylor Swift again, if you're lucky. Taylor, what's the poll question? What are the results thus far?
Who's more non-compos mentis, Nancy Pelosi or Joe Biden?
I'm still voting for Joe Biden, even though he's, what, 2 years younger than she is? She's 80 and he's going on 78.
He's a young whippersnapper.
He is.
66% say Joe Biden is more not with it.
Oh, I say Joe Biden 100%. I think Pelosi's a little bit more mean and calculated in what she says, but I think Joe Biden's definitely losing it a bit more.
Who looks older?
Ooh. See, unlike Nancy Pelosi, I don't like to comment on people's looks. I think it's a little bit beneath us. But Pelosi, the devout Christian, prayerful woman, is calling people morbidly obese on, not people, calling the president of the United States morbidly obese, slash when she's not, you know, praying for him like she claims.
Okay, who looks like they've had more work done?
I think, no, that's what I was going to say. I think they have both had recent injections of Botox. How come? I thought, isn't Botox theoretically an elective surgery
Biden's,
at this point?
Biden's had a whole facelift. I mean, before he got into the race, he had an entire facelift. He got rid of that turkey neck thing that he had going on. And you can see the scars behind his ears.
Yeah, Botox is one of those things. It starts as elective, and then after a while, if you don't keep it up, you just have to keep doing it. That's what I hear.
Who told you that, John Kerry?
No, I read a lot of blogs on Botox. If anyone out there is giving away any for free.
Okay, Grace, what do you got?
Oh, Howie, I have some news on Bud Light. Coronavirus brings beer drinkers back to Bud Light. Big beer brands had been losing ground for years before the coronavirus struck, but now drinkers are turning back to mainstream beers as the crisis shifts sales from tap rooms to grocery store aisles.
Well, the microbrews have been shut down.
The craft brews are tap, basically.
They're tapped out.
They're draft. So you can't, if the bar room is shut down, you have to go to a liquor store and get something in a can or a bottle. That's what it is, right?
Yeah, but can I not celebrate a win for Bud Light? Who cares?
It's not like people
Who
are saying,
what
you
the
know
reasons
what?
Are. They're off
I was
top
wrong
again.
About Bud Light. It really tastes great. No, that's not happening. I'm Howie Carr.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
844-500-4242. More information is coming out all the time about what has come to be known as Obamagate. And that is the massive political spying domestic intelligence illegal operation against the Republicans and probably a few Democrats, too, as well. Come to think of it, it was a few Democrats like Michael Flynn. And a lot of new information is coming out. The Susan Rice memo, the redacted paragraph was released today, and it's just more jive. CYA from Susan Rice. There's another very interesting story. It hasn't gotten much attention yet. It's in the Star newspapers. They're in Ohio and Tennessee. And it's written by Neil McCabe, who I've known for a long time. He's from Boston, and he's now the national political correspondent for Star newspapers. And he's a media fellow at Gold Institute. And I saw this story today. The Treasury Department spied on Flynn, Manafort, and the Trump family, says whistleblower. And you saw last week when they showed when Rick Grenell, the acting director of National Intelligence, released the list of people who had unmasked Michael Flynn in the post-election transition to the Trump administration on January 20th, and seven of them were from the Treasury Department. And we all kind of wondered what's going on with all these Treasury people wanting to look at Flynn's phone records. But now it turns out there's more context to what happened with the Treasury Department illegally bird dogging Flynn. And so joining us now is Neil McCabe. Neil, thanks for being with us here on the Howie Carr Show.
Oh, absolutely, Howie. And I really want to thank you. When I was in One America News, you were the cornerstone of our news special on the truth behind Elizabeth Warren. That was great stuff, and I really appreciate you coming on with us then.
Oh, my pleasure, Neil. So you found this Treasury Department whistleblower. And tell us what she said to you, what she told you about what the Treasury Department under Obama was doing to Michael Flynn.
Right. I've been talking to someone close to her for over a year, and she just didn't want to come forward. And so there was a lot of back and forth. And like you, I saw this unmasking where, there were seven Treasury officials, including Jacob Lew, who is the Treasury Secretary, and Sarah Raskin, who is the Deputy Secretary and the wife of Congressman Raskin, who, of course, was part of the impeachment team. And they had that meeting on December 14th. I still don't know what happened on December 14th. She doesn't know what happened on December 14th. But what she did tell me is that in December of 2015, she started seeing metadata, that is, name, time, access, not actually what they were looking for, but she started seeing reports come through that Flynn was, that somebody in Treasury in the Office of Intelligence and Analysis was going through his financial records and monitoring his financial transactions. And that continued into 2016 when she reached out to someone else. Had been in the intelligence community. She reached out to someone else who was also at Treasury from the intelligence community. And the two of them, basically looked at this and said, this is wrong. We got to speak up. And they tried to ring the bells, and they got shut down.
Now, let me just point out again. This started, according to Neil's source here, in December of 2015. Donald Trump wasn't even the front runner for the nomination, the Republican nomination at that point. So it kind of puts the lie to this Susan Rice memo that was declassified today, where they're talking about, they make it appear that they only became interested in Flynn when he began talking with the Russian ambassador after the election. So 11 months before the election, they're not dipping into his phone records with the Russians. These hacks in the Treasury, these Democrat hacks, are looking at his financial transactions. That's the bottom line.
Yeah. And I will point out, maybe the details better than I do, but it's my understanding that Flynn hadn't even endorsed Trump until later, that Flynn was actually talking to other candidates. And so this was very much a Flynn-centric operation. And the other name was Paul Manafort, and that is in her whistleblower. Manafort's name and Flynn's name are in her complaint to the Office of Special Counsel and the IG at Treasury. There are other names she can't say because they haven't been, they're not part of paperwork. So I asked her, I said, well, who else? Would be members of Congress? Yes. Were there senior staffers in the Trump campaign? Yes. I said, the most senior? She says, yes. I said, members of the Trump family? Yes.
Well, now you have, Trey Gowdy is the former congressman from South Carolina who was in on most of these Intelligence Committee hearings. He says that they were unmasking members of the Trump family on Inauguration Day in the morning. And I just want to read something from your story here. This ruse, tapping into their financial transactions, the ruse was to get around using classified resources to surveil Americans because they didn't have a court warrant. They hadn't gone to FISA. Once the Treasury personnel had enough information about someone they were targeting from the black box, meaning the more accessible information, they would go to the white box for faster and more informed search. Right. So this was a dirty trick. This was strictly an illegal dirty tricks operation. This is the kind of stuff they accused Nixon of doing. But he never had the capacity or the resources. I don't even know if he had the will to do something like this, actually, you know?
Well, I will also point out, we talk about unmasking. It was on January 12th that Obama signed a revision of the executive order that governs sort of surveillance. And that's EO 12333, right? 12333. And it was on 12th that you see Secretary of the Treasury, Jack Lew, accesses Flynn's records again on the 12th. And you see a ton of people accessing the records in the unmasked list on the 12th because that's the day that Obama opened it up to everybody.
Yeah, so I'm just reading this surveillance program, and again, this is an illegal surveillance program, was run out of the Treasury's Office of Intelligence Analysts, which was then under the leadership of S. Leslie Ireland. That name doesn't mean anything to you, but he was at the CIA and had a one-year stint as Obama's daily in-person intelligence briefer. So in other words, he was a soldier in the Obama crime family, and they put him in there, just like they put Jacob Lew in there after the IRS scandal, because he was the chief of staff for Obama. They needed to keep the lid on this dirty tricks operation that they were running. Do you think they were dipping into the financial records of all the Republican candidates? You know, Senator Grassley from Iowa has said they were probably illegally surveilling all the Republican candidates. Is that what you think she's getting at, your whistleblower?
Oh, I mean, we'll think about it, right? You're a reporter. If a cop left a folder on your desk and walked away, would you look through the folder? I mean, who would stop? Do you have that kind of curiosity? Why would you stop? I mean, and think about it. You go back to Watergate and Nixon. You know, most of those prosecutors weren't investigators weren't looking into Nixon. They were auditing Bob Dole. They were auditing Ronald Reagan. They investigated every Republican who could have run for president in 76 just for opposition research and just charged it to the Watergate account.
Right. And you know, the other thing is, too, if you're digging through financial records, you do it very carefully, you might be able to spot something, a check, say, I don't know, just to make something, an abortion, right? So if you can find you got some kids adopted and you didn't do it in a proper way through a backdoor payment to somebody, all of a sudden you have a lot of blackmail material, even if they're not a candidate for president, right?
Yeah. So go back, Howie, to black box versus white box, right? So in the black box, you see a check to an abortion clinic. Then you go to the white box and you find out, they're on their Facebook page. They were in that town the same day. Oh, okay, let's go to security cameras. Okay, we see them walking into the building. So you go to the white, once you have everything, all the details you need in the black box, you can go to the open source white box, and that's sort of what they call parallel construction for you to say, and then they say, well, we didn't have a warrant. It was right on your Facebook page.
This is pretty amazing. We've got another woman coming up to interview in the next hour. That's sort of on the same topic about how Adam Housley from Fox has been saying that this thing is just massive. It's almost unbelievable how many people were under surveillance and the depth of the surveillance that they were under. It could be hundreds of people, couldn't it, Neil McCabe?
Well, yeah, I just don't, I don't have proof it was hundreds of people. You don't have proof it was hundreds of people. But why would you stop? You know, if I have all afternoon to just look up anybody I want, why wouldn't I?
Right.
You know?
Yeah. No, it's, we're both reporters. It's very addictive, isn't it? Once you get started.
Yeah, of course.
And you're just digging. And you're just digging. And pretty soon, it gets to be a hobby. You go home and you put your feet up on the couch and you just dig through the evening because it's more fun than watching TV.
And then you see the connections, you know, from something else. So you heard something at the party and then you see something in the Flynn file like, oh, okay, now I get what the connection is.
Yeah. This is just, this story really puts, and you know, there have been other stories earlier that the surveillance on Flynn in various forms was going back to 2014. So now your story says you have it connected back to 2015. So,
yeah.
I mean, he's got a hell of a civil suit once he gets rid of this criminal case in front of Judge Sullivan. Can you imagine that? I mean, how much time and effort did they expend? How many people were involved in trying to kill this guy? A three-star general.
He's a very scary. You saw what they disclosed today. They declassed that Susan Rice memo was all
right
about Comey going after Flynn. I had no idea that Flynn was the scariest man on earth. Like, who knew that Mike Flynn was such a scary guy?
Yeah, and who elected... Who elected James Comey to decide who the incoming NSA should be talking to and what he should be talking about? And why did they have to go to this ridiculous length, repeating over and over again, by the book, by the book?
Well, scandal free. I will tell you this too, Howie, that one of the lawyers put on the whistleblower's case.
Yeah.
Maureen Comey, daughter of James Comey, Southern District of New York, Assistant U.S. Attorney.
It's kind of like, that just reminds me when Judith Campbell Exter, JFK's girlfriend, was testifying before the Senate Intelligence Committee. You know the law firm that they gave her to represent her?
No.
Sergeant Shriver's. Sergeant Shriver, the brother-in-law of President Kennedy.
Of course.
He's representing the girlfriend who's going to blow the whistle on JFK. I mean, how ridiculous is that? I mean, could the deep state be any more corrupt? Oh, man.
Well, one of the things I learned as a local reporter in Somerville, I sort of learned in my trade walking around Somerville, working for the Somerville News. And I just sort of had this idea that what if I take everything that I'm learning in Somerville and just... the same principles are in play, and I just apply it. I just treat the Capitol like it's Somerville City Hall. And it turns out to be absolutely true. Same clowns, same garbage. Like, Washington is just, it's all the same.
I tell you what, Neil, I trust the McKennas and the Pirros and the Howes a lot more than I trust the Comeys
and
the Brennans and the rest of them. Even Brune, even Nutty Brune, I would trust more. But we're all Somerville guys. That's the thing. We used to live in Somerville. Neil McCabe, this is a great story. We're going to tweet it out, and this is really good. Keep us informed about this. This is you've really advanced the story here. This is quite interesting. I think we'll be reading more about this. Thank you, Neil McCabe from the Star Newspapers, and he's also the media fellow at the Gold Institute. I'm Howie Carr.
You're tuned into the Howie Carr Radio Network.
This is Chris in Rochester, Mass.
This is Mark in Nashville, New Hampshire.
This is Lorna in Truckstown, Pennsylvania. And this is the Holly Carr Show.
I think they were dipping into Mike Flynn's financial records for the same reason that after Bill Clinton became president, 900 FBI files, including those on most of the people on Capitol Hill of both parties, suddenly went into the presidential living quarters at the White House. I think there were 900 FBI files that went over there just for their the Clintons' perusal. You know, it's and it, of course, there was never a scandal in the Obama administration. And Jacob Lew was sent over to be the Treasury Secretary from the White House. He was chief of staff to Obama after the Lois Lerner Tea Party persecution, not prosecution, persecution came to light. And remember that the IRS settled with the Tea Party groups for millions of dollars because they were persecuting them. Joe, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, Howie, long-time listener.
Thank you.
I moved up here and got out of that sewer in out of Massachusetts in 84. I grew up in Watertown, right where all this started, where that moron ran over his brother trying to get away from the cops, the 4 million cops that were shooting at each other.
Right.
And I'm 75 years old. I figure if I get the virus, out of 6,000 people my age, 75, 5,999 of us are going to survive it. So I'm not really that concerned.
No, I'm not quite as old as you, but I'm not that concerned either. I mean, I don't have any underlying conditions as far as I know. And, you know, and again, I feel bad for everybody who's dying, but it's not a particularly deadly disease unless you're extremely old or extremely frail. And that's the reality of it. And people who think they're going to die, they've just got to do a little more reading, or preferably after turning off the TV. And don't watch any more MSNBC or CNN. They're trying to scare you into voting for Joe Biden. That's the plan here, you know? Thanks for the call, Joe. I appreciate it. And thanks for holding on. Ron, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Ron.
Good afternoon, Howie. Hey, I think you just stole my thunder a minute ago. I was just going to go back to the Clinton era, because you remember that, and you just mentioned it, that this is nothing new about the Democrats checking out other people's backgrounds.
Right, exactly. The Republicans, Nixon did a little bit of it, but again, Nixon didn't have any kind of organized system the way these Obama Democrats had it. I don't know who set it up. I don't think Obama really had the brains to do it, but somebody set it up for him. I'm Howie Carr.